Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Ben, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys this morning?
Well, we're doing okay. It's a pretty happy day in town. It's been a pretty happy couple of days, I can tell you that.
Well, you know why it's such a happy day, Ron?
Tell me.
Well, I'm hoping that she's listening, but I know that there's a special birthday today. I believe today is your mother's birthday, Miss Ruth Cook.
It is her birthday today.
So, Mama Cook, if you are listening, happy, happy birthday. We hope you have a great one.
Thank you, Ben. You'll make her day with that one. Thank you. I'm still blessed to have her all these years later, I can tell you
that.
Because
awesome.
I'm not a kid. You know, might imagine she's a few years older than me. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Of course.
So you watched the film. What jumped out at you? What did you like best? And what do you still need to work on?
Well, a lot of kind of what we talked about after the game, I thought how well guys stepped up and played. You know, it wasn't like anybody on offense had this spectacular day in terms of yards or big plays or things like that. I say that with a little bit of an asterisk. I think Jalen played awesome in terms of what he did running the ball and making plays. But it just felt like everybody contributed. You know, it might not have been a spectacular day on anybody's front, but it was a pretty good offensive day. And it sounds crazy because we didn't score all the points we wanted to score and things like that. But just guys making plays from James Washington, Eli Rogers coming back for the first time, Vance McDonald, two huge plays, especially the one on third down. You know, you expect guys like Juju and AB to make plays, Swift making plays out of the backfield, doing things for us, Ridley getting a couple huge runs for us. So I just think it was an all-around great day for everybody.
Speaking of that, Ben, the first drive of the game was a thing of beauty, and it got me to thinking there's so much talk about going into a game with the first drive at least scripted. And I wanted to ask you, how much of that was right on script, and also about the process of going into a game with your opening drive scripted? Who's in on that? When do you sit down and do it?
So we always do like a top 10, you know, and that's kind of determined Saturday. And we talk about a Saturday night and, you know, make changes if we need to before the offensive meeting Saturday night. So Saturday morning, we kind of know what we're going to get ourselves into in the first 10. That being said, sometimes things happen, like what happened last week, where the first play is scripted. The second play basically is a formation is scripted. That's it. And Randy says, all right, Ben, you call the plays. And so we did that, and then he was chiming in with some things. So we were on script in the sense that we knew we were going to kind of get into some no-huddle stuff and go five wides. And go empty and kind of spread them out and try and work the ball down the field that way. So this was a scripted/unscripted first drive.
And it's basically you and Randy then together? Are you the two guys who script it and then you present it to other people?
Well, no. Are you talking about the top 10 plays? That's all the coaches. I believe the coaches each pick like their top two or three plays and you know, give it to Randy, and then they all talk about it because, you know, he'll want to know kind of what runs Munch wants and passes guys want. So I think it's all the coaches kind of contribute, and then he brings it to the quarterbacks, and then the quarterbacks talk about it.
Ben, I found it very interesting after the coin toss, you know, and a lot of times you guys defer. You won this one, and you said right away, we want the ball. Was that just to, you know, to set the tone early, keep Brady off the field? What went into that?
It was really just a conversation that Coach T and I had going into it. He said, and it was really just happening in the locker room right before when I was kind of getting stressed and stuff. He goes, "Hey, you want to take the ball?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "Whatever, you know, whatever you want to do." And he said, "I like that unless you have some major feelings about it one way or another." And so we kind of assumed that they would defer, that kind of thing to doing nowadays in the NFL. So. We kind of thought we were going to get the ball first regardless.
Ben, I'd meant to ask somebody about this after the game, and then I completely forgot. So let me ask you, who better to ask? It seemed like, well, there was no introductions before the game, right? Where did that idea come from? What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I went to Coach T, and I had a talk earlier in the week, and I went to Coach T and said, hey, do you have any ideas of who you're going to introduce? And he said, and he kind of gave me a look like I'm going to do the offense. I said, okay, well, Pouncey and I have talked. And we said, instead of introducing the offense, we would like you to introduce the team. And he said, okay, kind of gave me a look like, okay, sounds good. And that was the end of it. And so that's what we did.
What was the thinking with you guys, with you and Pounce, on doing that?
You know, we didn't care if it was going to be just if he said, well, I'd like to introduce the offense, we were going to say, well, then we're going to go out as a total offense. Like, the whole group is going to go out together. And so I said, we should just do it as the whole team. And we felt like we wanted to, you know, as offensive guys, we didn't want it to be like it's about individuals. We want to go out as a group. So that's kind of where the conversation Pouncey and I had kind of started.
Ben, you mentioned briefly about Samuels and Washington. Did those two young guys grow up a little bit in that game for you?
Absolutely. And I think it was awesome what they did. I loved the way that Jalen ran the ball. I loved the way that he caught the ball at the backfield. What a big third down he had. He did miss the blitz early in that, I think, the second drive. That was his guy that blitzed, that sacked me. And so it wasn't perfect, and he knows that. But after that, he really, I thought, did do some really good job, good things picking up the blitz and giving some chips on the edges to help the tackles. And so the way that he played really, I think, will help his confidence and help him to continue to grow, and we can continue to use him. So it's fun to see where he started in at training camp and where he's come to. And then I thought James made some huge plays for us. The one down the sideline, tracking the ball, going up, high pointing it. I thought that was great. And then he had a catch and break, a tackle and run. He's starting to play with confidence. And that's what when I said that to him a few weeks ago, get your confidence back. He's showing that. He's getting his confidence back, and it's showing for all of us on the field. So I told him after I gave him a hug and told him how proud I was of him.
That was the message you said you were delivering when you said on our show a couple weeks ago, correct? And it couldn't have worked out better for you, right? You said you weren't really calling him out as much as saying, hey, I believe in you. You got to believe in you.
Right. Get your confidence. Get your confidence back. And he's done the show team. You know, during practice, he's the scout wide receiver. And he's been out there doing really, really good things. And that helps with confidence, too, sometimes. You're getting out there and you're doing some different routes and you're not thinking, you're just playing, right? You just run. It tells you what to run and you just run it. And I think that his confidence is growing. And I hope that this last game will even help it more, because we're going to need him moving forward to make plays for us, because, teams are doubling AB, they're doubling Juju. And so he's going to have to make plays for us. And I am proud. That's why I didn't get too worked up when the outside world called me out for saying what I did to him, because they don't know what's going on. You know, there's the talking heads and the quote unquote professionals on ESPN, and they think they know, but they really don't know what's going on inside our locker room. So I just am so proud of him.
You are listening to the number one Cochran Ben Roethlisberger show. It's brought to you by number one Cochran, Hartman Company, and Hovis Auto and Truck Supply.
Speaking of national media, Ben, there was a report out there before the game the other day, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, saying that you had sustained cracked ribs last week.
You shouldn't even say his name on this show, because nothing that comes what he says there's any truth to. I mean, I'll stop you before. I have no idea where that came from. My wife texted me before the game, like, did you hear about this? And I'm in the locker room, like, this is unbelievable. I don't know where that guy gets his information from. So we're not even going to give him credence on this show, if that's okay with you.
All right. Well, let's move ahead with how you felt.
Thank you.
How you felt on Sunday and what you were dealing with pain-wise.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to the trainers, doctors. We try a lot of different things from heat packs to gels to things to put on, and at the end of the day, you trust in the doctors and what they tell you to do, and you go out there and you help, you let adrenaline and all kinds of things help. So we're all dealing with a lot of pain right now at this time of year. So guys fight through it, and we all have, and we all have done it in the past, and we will continue to do it for our teammates.
Ben, I don't remember too many times where you've taken intentional grounding penalties. Clearly you were throwing the ball away, but there wasn't anybody there. Was that just one of those plays you wanted to avoid the sack?
Yeah, you know, you're trying to take a sack, and I saw one of my guys in the back of the end zone. I tried to kind of throw it over his head, but I actually had, there was a guy holding on to me, and he's spinning me around, and so his momentum kind of carried the, forced my throw a little wider than I wanted it to. So it wasn't like I was throwing it to a spot there that it ended up going, obviously, where no one was, but I wasn't intentionally trying to throw it over there, but as I was getting spun around and thrown down, it's just kind of how the momentum took the ball. And, you hate to have that penalty there, and but you're trying not to take a sack too. So it stinks. I hate that penalty.
Ben, Belichick mentioned after the game that he felt like coverage was good on a lot of plays that you guys made. And from my vantage point, you were giving guys a chance to make plays, and there were as many really good catches in that game as I've seen, whether it was Eli Rogers right away on that first down play. Could you speak to just team-wide how many tough catches your guys made?
No doubt. Combat catches, right? We tell them it's our ball or nobody's ball. And you're right, that first third down, Eli. I mean, what a welcome back. Bang, bang, physical, making the play. I can remember Juju on the sideline. I threw two bad balls to him early that I kind of threw off the field too far. And then I was like, okay, I'm coming right back to him, and I'm throwing kind of a back shoulder jump ball to him. And he went up and made that play. James Washington on the sideline, same sort of thing. And that's when you've got good coverage, sometimes you got to just give your guy a chance to go up and make the play. And you're right, guys made some combat catches. And that's just desire and want to. Great coverage, but they made plays for me.
Did you think you had a touchdown to Juju late? And do you just give credit to the defender on that play?
Yeah, great play by him. He played up through the ball. They went to a zero, so we knew he didn't have all day. We put Juju on the inside position to get him that route. We got everything we wanted. We thought they were going to double AB, which they did. We thought they were going to bring the all-out blitz, which they did. But because that extra guy was doubling AB, it gives you just a tick of a second more to throw it. And so I held it for as long as I could, and I put it up for Juju. And that's what we've talked about on this show, and Juju and I have talked about it many times with him. And it happened in the Cincinnati game, if you guys remember, when he caught that one kind of on the goal line going in. You don't want to overthrow Juju, right, because he goes up and makes plays in the Jaguar game. I can think of numerous times that you give him a chance to make a play, and he's going to make it 9 out of 10 times. And that was one of those ones where I'm like, just don't overthrow him. And I'm frustrated with myself because I wish I would have put out there more and let him just run under and catch it. But for him, you want him to go up and make that play. And like I said, 9 out of 10 times, he's going to make that play. The one time is going to be a great defensive play. And that's what that guy did. He got up through there, and I don't fault Juju at all. That guy just made a great play.
All right, Ben, a win is a win. We all know what this meant for you in the standings. But it came against New England. It came against Belichick. It came against Brady. Does it not have at least a little more significance for you?
Well, anytime a team beats you way more than you beat them, you definitely want to go get them. So, it means something. I mean, they're the kind of the team of that everyone wants to beat all the time. So when you beat them, it makes you feel a little more special. But winning at home in this time of year, you just want to get a win against anybody.
I don't know if Belichick ever speaks to the opposing quarterback. I know Brady does. Did Belichick share anything with you? And how about your conversation with Brady?
I did not see Coach after the game. I don't know that he maybe he does go find certain guys, but he did not. I didn't talk to him, but I did talk to Tom, and it was just a quick, just a lot of respect for him. And it doesn't matter how many times you play against him. It's still an honor to share the field with him.
Ben, Chris Boswell's been going through a lot, and after that first miss the other day, it was impossible not to feel bad as the TV panned over to him on the bench. So what were you thinking when he went out for the 48-yarder, and what have your interactions been with him recently?
The crazy thing is, and I try and tell this to him, is that when he goes out, every time he goes out there, I'm not watching it like, oh, man, I hope he makes it. I expect him to make it. And when he went out for that last one, I never once did I think, oh, man, Coach, we should either go for this or punt it. Like, don't put Boz out there. Never once. And I keep trying to tell him, like, Boz, we believe in you. I believe in you. Like, you know, you make sure you believe in yourself and don't get down on yourself and doubt yourself, because none of us do. And so when he went out there, I assumed he was going to make it, and he did. And so that's the confidence we have in him.
Your defense has always also taken a lot of heat. Brady gets the ball back with 2.5 minutes to go. They kept showing you after each incompletion on the bench. I'm not quite sure why, but what was going through your mind then? Because we all know Brady's track record at the end of games.
Well, that's probably why they were showing me, and I was giving those looks, because I was thinking in my head, okay, how would I like this to be in this situation? How much time do I have? How many timeouts do I have? How far do I have to go? You know, you're just kind of, you're playing it out in your head as if roles were reversed. And, you know, he's one of, if not the best to ever do it. And he's done it many times on many stages at the end of games. And so it's, you know, as a quarterback that's seen him do it, that's got a lot of respect for him, that, you know, I've done it a few times myself, you sit over there and you think, man, this is what he wants. This is the moment that he, you know, usually shines and is best. And so you're just counting on your defense to step up, and they did.
What does it say about that defense to hold that offense to 10 points?
Well, they played awesome. They got after him. They created some havoc. And, you know, that's awesome.
Well, it doesn't get any easier, Ben. I just saw a thing flash on the TV here that New Orleans has the best defense since Week 10 in terms of takeaways, sacks, points per game against. And I guess my first question for you is, when do you really start digging into the opposing team? Which day? And are you taking stuff home with you and watching it at night? Like, how does that whole process work?
Yeah, well, especially last night with them being on, I watched that game and watched them on defense as they played. Technology is amazing. You know, on my phone or devices here, I could watch film of them. I could watch their defense. I could break it all the way down from what down it is, what formation it is, red zone, third down. I mean, all those things. So I start doing that pretty much last night, and just trying to get as ready for them as I can, because, like you say, everyone talked about and has talked about, rightfully so, the Saints offense. But their defense is very good, especially recently, and we're going to their place where they're even better. They've got the turf, the indoor, the noise, all those things really are going to make it tough for us. So we're going to have to be ready to go and try and score points with their offense. It's not going to be easy.
Ben, we saw what the crowd at Heinz Field did to the Patriots, and that was about as loud as I can remember. I don't know if you would agree with that. But their offense had 4 or 5 false start penalties. You're going into that kind of environment this week. Maybe, obviously, with some young guys. Samuels is a rookie. Washington's a rookie. Eli Rogers is just coming back. I assume your hand signals, everybody's got to be on their P's and Q's. How do you get ready for that environment?
Hopefully those young guys just don't know any better. Don't know what to expect. But you're right. I mean, and I will talk about the Heinz crowd. That was awesome. They were loud. They created havoc. They created false starts, penalties, all kinds of good things. Now, part of that is those are all really good things. And we're going to have the same issue. They got a great pass rush down there. It's loud. They got that turf that's going to help with speed around the edge. So it's going to be an awesome challenge. But you know what? We've got to just believe in ourselves and trust our guys. And the 5 guys up front are always lead us. So hopefully they're ready and up for the challenge.
Is there anything in practice you can do to even come close to replicating that?
Not talk, really. I mean, on Fridays we put speakers out there and do a modified crowd noise. But sometimes the best thing to do is just not even talk. You know, just always look out to the wide receiver and just do hand signals or, you know, things like that. So that's about the only way you can simulate something that's that loud.
Ben, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great week of practice. See you in New Orleans, and as I always tell you, man, stay healthy.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, guys, have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.